Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company with Michael Pelkin for Nick Kale again. We are 2 weeks away from Christmas Day, correct? Yes. I think so. Dawn is back. Gregory's here.
Is it?
They're making their lists and checking them twice.
2 weeks away.
2 weeks from today.
Wow.
Now, do you do Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
We do everything.
Yeah, we do everything.
Everything.
And remember, Hanukkah starts actually sundown this Sunday.
Really?
The first day of Hanukkah is Monday, but sundown, you know, is the first candle.
So we don't have Christmakah this year, as Party of Five taught us.
Oh, yeah.
When Christmas and Hanukkah overlap. It's just before Christmas, I guess. So 8 crazy nights start Sunday night. What does Twitter X think of you, Gregory? Dawn, do you know?
What do they think of me?
Yeah.
I'm sure they hate me, just like most of the listening audience.
Well, it's interesting because Twitter has unleashed Grok to analyze accounts and tell you about people. If you go to the bio of a person, you know, whatever you tell people is one thing. But if you click on the little Grok button at the top of an account, it will do a summary and tell you. And I wonder if you've checked to see what social media AI thinks of you.
No, I don't care.
Obviously you don't care.
No, I don't care.
I do because I'm always going to be insecure, but that's okay. Dawn, do you care what Twitter X thinks of you?
No. And I don't know what, like, don't even put it in there because then...
No, you
probably
don't
not
have to
be good.
No, well, you're saying don't even look and see. But this is what if someone else goes on Twitter and says, "Who is Dawn Stenslin? Who is she?" And they click on your bio they see what you're writing, and then it goes through all of your posts and makes a decision.
They don't
about
have time
who you
to
are.
Go through all that baggage. They're gonna be like, "Yeah, pass."
See, I think this is like looking at your Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah.
Only. This is more rational. Is that the correct term to use?
Now, the Wikipedia page, I did try to go in there and just erase a bunch of stuff. And they will get nasty. They'll write to you and they'll say, "You're not allowed to change so much." And I'm like, "It's me. It's like, can I just..." But there's like too much information in there. You know, they don't need all that.
Well, that's why I'm leaning towards Grokopedia these days.
Oh.
Which Elon launched Grokopedia, and I think it's pretty darn good in terms of not having media bias, which we all know Wikipedia has horrific lefty media bias. But I'm just thinking, if you use Twitter X, you may want to take a look at what Twitter thinks of you, because this is the algorithms. Yesterday we talked about Instacart is using algorithms to decide what you pay at the grocery store.
They are, yep.
And this is artificial intelligence invading our lives. So I think you should be aware because...
You're right. You're Dawn, right.
Dawn, Twitter knows that you have a secondary X account.
Oh, yeah. I have way too many accounts. I got to squish them all together. Maybe I can get AI to help me, you know, do all that.
It does squish know that... Together. You collaborate closely with local media figures such as Rich Zioli and Greg Stocker.
Oh, that's funny.
It's right.
What about
in there.
Nick? Does it say Nick? And
I haven't put Nick in. Oh. I'm afraid to see degenerate gambler.
The problem with Nick's account is his Twitter account is it's very different than his on-air stuff. Like he does like sports stuff on his Twitter.
Yeah.
He does that for a reason. One, because I told him to, but two, because, you know, that's his outlet for sports, you know? So it probably wouldn't even associate us together because he doesn't really tweet about it.
Shall we find out?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So
he's not here to defend himself. That's great.
No, he's not. He's probably listening, though.
He's not listening.
I hope he's sleeping.
He hasn't listened. Oh, stop.
No, I hope he's getting... And he texted me at some point yesterday... And I felt bad because we were texting back and forth, like, "Are you okay?" And then he said, "When are you coming back?" And then, but then I fell asleep during the day, but then I was back up like around midnight because David had like a final paper due and I was so like my schedule's all messed up. So I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
So how does David having a final paper do affect you, mm-hmm. Don Sense?
Because I am the
asking
proofreader.
For a friend. Okay.
Because
okay.
I am the proofreader.
He should use Grok or Gemini or Chat.
They're not as good as me. Not even AI is as good yet. I am the best proofreader. I am.
Well,
you ever had a paper?
I can't argue with you, Don, because I'll lose. But you want to know what Grok thinks of Nick?
Yeah.
What?
After analyzing Nick's social media, Nick Hale hosts the weekday morning talk radio show Kale & Company on Philadelphia's 1210 WPH. It knew that.
Yeah.
Blending conservative takes on politics, media bias, and current events with passionate sports commentary.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Especially as a devoted Alabama Crimson Tide fan who shares NFL and college football betting picks. So they know he's a degenerate gambler.
Yeah. I mean, they're 100% right so far.
Yeah. His feed reveals a family-oriented side, including his pride in his daughter's school performances amid personal health challenges like laryngitis. So it's up to date.
There you go. Okay, that's not bad.
Wow.
Engagement with conservative influencers and sports accounts underscore his lively, opinionated online presence.
Well, that's very
good. That's nice. Yeah. That's positive.
And they always pick one quote. Like Nick's quote is, who wins the CFB playoff? That's it. That's his quote. Dawn's was Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Was it really?
Mine was Get Angry, Get Loud, which is kind of interesting.
That's good.
What was Greg's? Greg Stocker.
Well, hold on. Let's see if Greg Stocker. Oh. I didn't put Greg in. I was just this just hit me as I got this message from these guys going, hey, Greg Stocker, let's see. I'm doing this live into the Grok machine.
I like this.
As we speak, this is very interesting. It's the little circle at the top of the Twitter accounts.
I don't really have, like, I just really retweet station things. I don't really retweet, or, like, I don't really put anything on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't follow too many people. You have almost 6,000 followers, and you don't follow 1,000 people.
Yeah, I don't like people.
Now, okay, here we go. Greg Stocker doesn't like people. No, that's not. Greg Stocker serves as brand manager for the Kale & Company weekday morning show on 1210 WPHT, an Odyssey station focusing on promoting lively on-air discussions. That's true.
Yes, lively.
His activity centers on amplifying the program's fun, quirky content like Florida Man Tales and Raccoon Mishaps while organizing. This is so accurate.
It really is.
The raccoon mishap.
While organizing community initiatives such as toy drives for the Salvation Army.
Wow.
True.
He maintains a responsive presence, offering empathetic replies to listener concerns and celebrating collaborative successes with the hosts.
Wow. That's nice.
I mean, that is not the thing about empathetic things to people who respond to me. That's not true, because usually I tell people to F off and die.
Well, compared to what Nick says.
That's true.
To the listeners. That's true. Your Mother Teresa.
That's absolutely true.
And
wow.
Your quote, what do you think your quote is?
We start at 6 a.m.
Yeah. No, that's a good one, Dawn. That's a good one.
I was hoping it would be Firing Squad. I was hoping.
Yeah.
It says, really proud of the work we have done this year.
Aw, that's so nice.
Wow.
So there you are. If you want to know what the
I'm just a big softie, according to the algorithm.
Yeah, you are.
Nice.
So with no political points of view. Don't you love that? Nothing nothing brought into
politics.
Yes, yeah.
No. I mean, it's really interesting.
How about that?
That really kind of is me anyway. You know what I mean? Because I really hate politics.
Aren't you going to ask me what David's paper? You got to ask me what David's paper was on that I proofread, by the way.
Why are you proofreading a college kid's paper?
Because this I love proofreading.
This is ridiculous.
He does it for me.
Oh,
like,
stop.
I know you love to proofread.
Cut the cord, dog.
What was it on?
It was actually pretty fascinating. It was on the algorithms that how Mayor-elect Mamdani tapped into algorithms as part of a strategy to win the mayoral race. But also what David found was...
They could have done that on Trump, too, you know?
Well, that was the similarity.
Yes.
David found that Mamdani actually... And he went back and found all these interviews with all of his peeps. and they won. Mamdani, they keyed in on Trump voters and studied how Trump used social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a populist candidate.
Remember
how
when
they maximized?
Remember when
media.
I remember when I compared those two and everybody laughed at me and rolled their eyes.
Yeah.
Remember those days?
You were right.
Yeah, I usually am. Thank you very much.
That should
right.
be in your quote,
yeah,
Greg.
I'm usually right.
I am right.
The problem is that I say this stuff to you two. I never say this in my real life. I don't think I've ever uttered once to any of my friends or families that I'm usually right or I'm always right. Mm-hmm. Craig's in Maryland. What's up, Craig?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So I was listening to my friend Mr. Opelka, who one of these days we got to have coffee up there in Wilmington. But anyway, so I pulled it up and it says Craig from Maryland engages primarily through witty, concise remarks on X, touching on sports like NFL quarterbacks and college basketball, classic rock performances such as Billy Squires, and satirical takes on politics and pop culture figures. With a small following of 69 and blue verification, the user from Maryland favors one-liner humor that often pokes at celebrities and current events without original long-form content. Interactions with accounts like Tony Bruno and Royce Del Rey highlight a blend of conservative leanings and entertainment nostalgia. And my quote is from the Tony Bruno show, at Tony Bruno, "Tony, I think you meant that Omar was a brother lover." but because he called her something else, but since evidently he is both, is he her broband or her hustler, like husband, brother? Anyway, So I love this. Thank you for pointing that out, and it justifies my existence on Earth.
Thanks, Craig.
That was cute.
Thanks, Craig.
It's interesting because we all think that we know who we are, and then to see what social media sees us as, I think this is actually kind of a pretty accurate depiction of what the overall populace sees us as, based on you are what you post.
Yeah,
basically.
You should if anybody in the YouTube chat has an X account, you guys should put up there or let us know. Call in and let us know what yours says about you, because I think this is an interesting
fun
exercise.
Like, I love like what our, you know, South Carolina, like what everybody, well, Susie Cool or somebody who's like Dave in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
just different people who like he's a like a geologist and a scientist. So is his social media about his job or is it about, do you know what I mean? Who he follows
yeah.
or what?
Yeah.
Rich, he always happens to mention Fox News, isn't that?
Oh, shocking. Ed and,
how about Tony?
Ed and Del Ran. Ed, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Mike, Greg, and Dawn, it may be cold, but you guys are bold because that important information constantly gets told.
I like it.
Ed the Rhymer. And,
oh, I hope you would.
Nice.
Now,
Ed, it never
I
gets
talk
old.
About the seizing of the Venezuelan oil tanker. He follows the Ronald Reagan rule. He walks with a big, walks softly and carries a big stick.
With this whole thing with the Venezuelan oil tanker, like this is like we do this to Iranian ships all the time, and
yeah.
like this is such a non-story,
yeah.
and the fact that the media now is saying that it like escalating with Venezuela, like do you really think that they're going to do anything
no.
with because we took their oil tanker, you
well,
know what
and
I mean?
The oil tanker was connected to your point,
yeah.
To that's the allegation, supporting a terror nation like Iran. That was the whole point.
This whole Venezuela thing is just so infuriating to me because, like, Maduro, it should not be in power. He was not. He lost the election, and he's still there. He's a thug that needs to be taken out. You know, do I want him to
lamestream media throws anything at the wall to see whether it'll stick?
Yeah. Well, this is the problem. This is the problem with you know the way we get our news now. It's this soundbite world where everybody's like, oh, we're gonna go to war with Venezuela. We could conquer Venezuela in 2 hours. We're not going to go to war with Venezuela, and I'm against, you know, sending troops in there and, you know, removing Maduro by force. But like, you know, this whole idea, this whole notion that Maduro's this good guy that, you know, we're trying to oust out of power is absolutely ridiculous.
They're just putting pressure on Maduro.
Thanks,
Ed. The interesting thing is we are actually trying to get Maduro out peacefully. We're trying to negotiate his exit to a friendly country, whether it's Russia or another friendly despot.
Yeah.
But this capture of the ship, Greg nailed it. It is a collusion between Venezuela and Iran to sell oil that has been sanctioned. And you're not allowed to transport sanctioned oil. Venezuela doing that for Iran, passing the money back. It's probably Russian money or Chinese money that bought the oil. So now we own the oil. Donald Trump said it yesterday in that business roundtable. Somebody said, what's up with the boat? And what are you going to do with the oil? And Trump said, it's probably ours right now.
Yeah. And by the way, we've had sanctions on, I believe, somebody can fact check me, but I think we've had sanctions on Venezuelan oil for 10 years, including the Biden administration. So, like, this idea that, like, this is some new thing that it's like, oh, they seized a Venezuelan oil tanker. Like, we do this all the time. We do this all the time.
Sanctions in force since 2019.
Okay, so it's yeah. But still, I mean, yeah. through the Biden administration. So this isn't this isn't a bipartisan thing. Trump implemented it, and then Biden continued it.
No, it is a bipartisan thing.
Yeah,
I think is what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although Chrissy Houlihan from Chester County, mostly Chester County, she's condemning it. You know, she was part of the Sedition Six group.
Of course.
So she's condemning it. She's out there talking about this, saying we need to look into this. And so there, and then the so-called mainstream media just reports on it as if, oh, could this be piracy?
Oh, for God's sake.
That's a headline this morning.
Oh, God. You don't hate the media enough. Seriously. It's just, it's disgraceful. Like that, this is such a non-story, and it's such a hair on fire. It's 2 weeks before Christmas. We need something, you know, to talk about. So let's do this. This is ridiculous that we're even having, not us, but that the networks are even having this discussion. Like that it's anything but normal. You know what I mean? Like yes, seize the tank. Yes, do this. It's not
Greg,
something we haven't done.
You need to retweet this segment so that your quote will be, we don't hate the media enough.
And just for the record, so you have the talking points.
Yeah.
They were carrying out a warrant, so they had to go through, you know, they went through all the proper procedures. They had the seizure warrant for the crude tanker. It was being used to transport sanctioned oil from Venezuela to Iran. That was what the warrant said. So they were carrying that out with the U.S. Coast Guard, Homeland Security, etc. That's what happened. But that's what a local lawmaker, Chrissy Houlihan, is criticizing yesterday and today.
Well, she should get one of those awards, Mike, that you talked about yesterday.
The Tardies. She should get. We're working on a new kind of award show called The Tardies for people who, like Tim Walz, are highly regarded. Because I'm not saying the other word, but
or late.
She's highly regarded herself. We got to take a break. 7:24. Check what Grok thinks of you.
Yes, please.
If you're on Twitter, you smash that little button there, then come to the YouTube channel and smash the like button here. We have the cut sheet around the corner. More fun and frivolity on Kale and Company with Opelka. And for Kale, one more time, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
But let's fall in love once again with old Europe. This time, we're discovering Europe's best-kept secret, stunningly beautiful Portugal, Spain. It's what the Roman Empire called Finisterre, end of the earth, and we'll be calling home for 10 days next spring. Come away with me, won't you? This is the Portugal, Spain Conservative Tours trip. If you've loved our tour events in Italy, you are just going to, oh my goodness, you wait till you see this. What Conservative Tours, what Ken Chase and the team at Conservative Tours have designed just for you. Just for our listeners at 1210, because you're the best, dining at wineries, rivaling the best in Europe, private Portuguese escort for the entire event, four-star accommodations, $57.38. Yes, that includes your airfare from Philadelphia, the Bellum Tower, Geronimo's Monastery, the fun of just picture yourself strolling Alfama's cobblestone passages, just brimming with those scrumptious seafood restaurants, Abidos, Fatima, the elegance of Coimbra. You got to call now, 888-733-9494, or you can just go to conservativetours.com, scroll down, and you'll see everything about this incredible tour. Portugal isn't just the playground of the world's jet set. This is the land of Vasco da Gama, Magellan. We're going to learn how this sea-facing land actually became a world power. I'm talking Santiago de Compostela in Spain, drawing pilgrims in such a passionate way. And together, we will learn why. I hope you join me if you haven't signed up. And thank you to so many of you who already have signed up. I can't wait. The cuisine, the camaraderie that we share, the history, the unique beauty of this secret land, small but oh so impressive. I'll see you, Bellum Tower, conservativetours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I was going to ask you, Opelka, sometimes I play some of these songs just for you. Does this take you back to your Z100 days?
It takes me back farther than that.
Yeah.
Go back to, I ran MTV's only national competition for 3 years called Hit Video USA, and they bought us and shut us off because we were a threat. And Steve Winwood was on tour, and I think this was one of the first songs after he got sober.
Oh, really?
The guy had a massive rock career.
Yeah, he did.
Before.
Traffic.
Yep, low spark of high heel boys to go back, and then he was an addict.
Yep.
And he moved to Nashville and straightened his life up and then went out on tour. And I think this is one of the first hits from the sober Steve Winwood, and he talked about how he didn't know if he'd be good sober. And the guy was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
It brings, for me, it's like single girls getting ready for the party.
1980s. Yeah, this is
like,
a great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're going out, you know.
But, Dawn, did you ever, at a wedding reception, when they started playing Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, did you ever stand up and go, "This is my jam," and run to the dance floor?
No.
Good. Thank you.
That wasn't really my, but this is my, like, I love Steve Winwood.
Steve Winwood, just incredible performer. And I think he probably saved his life by getting sober because he definitely couldn't handle it. This is great stuff.
This album that this came out on was probably the biggest hit of his career, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you don't count Traffic. But Traffic was not...
They weren't a commercial success.
No. They were a concert success.
Great band. Absolutely fabulous band. Probably one of the best of all time. But not really a commercial success at the, you know, in the late 60s.
And Low Spark of High Heel Boys on the vinyl. If you were a DJ when that came out and you were working and you had to go to the bathroom... That's one of the songs you put on because you couldn't really leave the studio. We didn't have the computer automated stuff. So you could put on Low Spark of High Heel Boys and get a 12-minute break.
It's funny.
Dawn, what are you laughing about? Who's bugging you today?
No, it just makes me, like, I just love it. I'm just happy I feel better. And
me too.
I love this song.
It's great. It's amazing. Love. Can we do an update on a story, Gregory?
Please,
a story, I think it was you guys did this story last week about Waymo.
Waymo, yes.
They're here, right?
Philly? Philadelphia, they're going to start. It's one of the, Dawn had it in the news, it's one of the many cities that they have decided to come out in, you know. So they're going to give the test run. They did Arizona, San Francisco. We had Jimmy Fallon on last week, and he was talking about how it's like 60% of the cars in San Francisco.
So this
my brother used it.
Yeah.
My brother took it in San Francisco and said how cheap it was because they're undercutting Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any, they're not paying drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two videos that came up in the last week that I just wonder if we're going to see these in Philly. When you don't close the door fully and you walk away, the car won't leave. So if you leave the door ajar just a little bit,
amazing,
it can't go to its next pickup.
Yeah.
And so they have to send someone to go open and shut the door.
Everybody's still worried that AI is going to, you know, is going to become some super genius superpower and going to take us over. I mean, come on.
Well, they don't even, figures out how to close its own door.
They don't even know. Well, I mean, come on. They don't even know enough to close their doors.
So the thing about, I will say about it is that there was, you know, me with like the crime and the predators. So just, what was it, last weekend, there was this whole thing that went viral on TikTok and Insta and all of that. It was saying how be careful with young women taking rideshare services and the level of assaults that
really?
Are happening. Yes.
From the drivers?
From the drivers or alleged drivers. Because the woman gets in and she's drunk, you know, all liquored up, which is why her friends are putting her in the Uber in the first place. So it's either the driver or somebody who poses as one. But there's a real spike in that. And so they're putting out all these warnings of the buddy system. Get in the vehicle with a friend. If you know what I mean? Don't just stick them in a rideshare or whatever. But
well,
that,
they tell
that's
you
a
to
big warning.
Double check the driver's identity. And you can pick your drivers. If you don't like it, you can request a female driver. I think Uber made that and Lyft made that an option. But not just the door closing thing, but now you've given me an idea, Gregory. If anybody needs a side hustle, you should apply to this automated driving service, Waymo, to be the door closer. And you'll just sit around all day and be sent to go check out a car with a problem. Yesterday in San Francisco, did you see the standoff between the three Waymo cars?
I did, yeah.
Three Waymo cars, all on the same street, created a roadblock.
Watch this.
A video from Saturday captured three Waymo self-driving cars frozen in an apparent standoff on a residential street in San Francisco. Waymo has said it is issuing a voluntary software recall in its self-driving vehicles after a series of close call incidents, including an illegal maneuver of passing a stopped school bus.
Oh, they did the Nick Cale.
Yep.
Well, when Nick passed the thing and got caught on camera and then showed it to us, which as his like defense attorney, I'm like, don't show the video.
He did it to create good radio, which I appreciate.
He sacrificed himself for. But in his defense, it wasn't stopped yet. So it put the arm out, but it was still moving.
Yeah, that's his story.
But the arm is the rule, though, Don. Yeah. Who goes past the arm?
No, but I mean, he
rule.
Didn't see it, he says.
Yeah,
he didn't
lied.
See it.
He lies.
He
lies.
Paid the fine.
He's a liar.
But in this case, in the Waymo case, the kids were like, you know, like it was stopped and the kids are all like getting out of the thing and it's just like, you know, goes by.
Yeah.
What if the Waymo standoff here is a preview of the robot apocalypse when they all decide we're done with you people?
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, AI right now is the future.
Yeah.
And so every job, I have a friend who's in between, and they said, everybody says, like, put your knowledge of AI, get certified with some, there are all these online certifications, put that you're certified right now. That's the hot thing, that you need to say, yes, I'm AI certified.
By the way, Kent's Code on YouTube says they did the four-way Yugo stop. Yugo, no Yugo, no Yugo.
So I love that it happened in San Francisco, though, because they're on the ridiculous hill and they've got traffic blocked in front of million-dollar homes.
Were there people in the cars?
I couldn't tell.
Roll the video again, Phil.
From Saturday captured three Waymo self-driving cars frozen in an apparent standoff on a residential street in San Francisco.
It doesn't look like there's anybody
Waymo
in the cars. People probably got out.
Voluntary software.
Right. I would have.
Maybe the doors.
After a series of close call incidents, including
maybe that's why.
An illegal maneuver of passing a stopped school bus.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they all stopped, because everybody was just like, "Well, this sucks. I'm getting out." So they all got out. So the cars just stopped.
Please do a report on the way. We have to assign somebody to ride the Waymos.
Here in Philly?
Here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going back to that robot that was going across the country and got to Philly and just got trashed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That
was so embarrassing.
Yeah. What was that? That was like a bot thing.
It
yeah.
looked like R2-D2 going across the country, and it got all the way across the country, got to Philadelphia, and got the snot beat out of it.
I want to send, I'll send Jim Kelly in the Waymo.
Illegally blind.
Illegally blind. Just to see what they, I would like to see that. It's going to be an experiment. I'm going to try that. When's it supposed to come to Philly, Dawn? Do you know?
It's the phase has phase two has been announced.
Okay.
So it's happening. It's here.
I think December 1 it started, yeah. But I don't know if it's general public.
In. Yeah.
I'm sure they have their own guinea pigs in the cars. Am I allowed to call them guinea pigs?
Hitchbot was the hitchhiking robot.
Yeah, Hitchbot.
Beheaded in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
August 4th, 2015.
Beheaded
in Philadelphia.
Bad things happen in Philly. President Trump, those are the most correct words he's ever spoken.
I know. It's a sin.
Is there, Gregory and I discussed this briefly in a text chat last night. Do we have an update on the Cinnabon girl, Greg, that's able to be played?
We do, I believe. Did we pull that, I think? I think we pulled that. Hang on.
Dawn, you know about the Cinnabon girl who lost her job?
She was here when we played it.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. It was I forget. The days all blend into one
another. Well, you queue up the Cinnabon girl. Yeah. As of this morning, December 11th, a sweep of homeless encampments is underway right now in the Kensington section of Philadelphia.
Wow.
Part of Mayor Sherelle Parker's plan to address the neighborhood's open-air drug market issues, which are continuing. And so it's an ongoing situation. They're doing the sweeps right now.
Now, the facility, isn't there a new facility that's been opened in the last couple of weeks? And so relocating these people, hopefully to get them help, isn't that the goal ultimately? Yes. I salute that. Good job, Mayor, if it works, if it holds.
They listened to, because it was Michael Schellenberger, he had exposed this. He was one of the first people I saw looking at this worldwide. What are people doing? And worldwide, of course, the rest of Europe, the Netherlands, all those other countries realize that these open drug markets are just fueling the issue. They're doing the opposite of what they were intended to do. And so we listened in Philadelphia to your point. So they created that, you know, place where, so you have a choice. In other words, if you're out there doing drugs, they're going to put you in it'll be a frigid weather, so they can put you in a shelter or they'll take you to a facility where you can get help. Those are your choices.
So we have the update on the Cinnabon girl. This is Crystal Wisely.
Not wise.
No.
There's no wisdom in this girl.
For those of you who don't know, she's the one who was caught on camera spouting the N-word and saying that she's a proud racist when two Somalis were filming her and harassing her. What TMZ has some new footage now, right? I think we have a little bit. I think this is the explanation of this. There's actually more to the footage than was previously released. I know, shocking, right? That there's actually more to the story. So we should decide if this is, if this explains any of the behavior. Roll this.
I remember you said something about your face. You can go and pretend to be 5 minutes.
The new video reveals that it was the Cinnabon employees who were the victims, and everyone had misunderstood her. In the video, the Somali couple appears to be provoking her on purpose, repeatedly approaching her and even changing outfits to slip back into the store and create a confrontation. In the footage, the Muslim woman, identified by viewers, stands at the counter in a red jacket, constantly moving toward Crystal Wilsey with her phone raised, speaking in a taunting tone. Crystal points at her, stammering in frustration. "You've been here before. You changed your outfit just to come bother me again." Her emotions are clearly breaking down, not in attack mode, but more like someone pushed into a corner and reacting defensively. Meanwhile, the Somali couple keeps pressing her, getting closer, filming in her face, step by step. Every move looks like they're waiting for her to make another wrong reaction. So, which version is real?
Which version is
now,
real?
Well, the reality is we see the National Guard troop, the ICE agents, walking all around the cities, doing their job, rounding up the people here illegally, and they're being shouted at. The most horrible things are being said to these law enforcement officials, and they keep their cool. This is a minimum wage employee at a mall in Wisconsin making Cinnabon, and she also has a pretty sketchy background with the law, and she snapped. But did it expose the fact that she's a racist?
Yes.
Does it justify her reactions to that? No. Ultimately, society says we're supposed to be the better people. And she's obviously not.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing is that like, yeah, yes, these two scumbags clearly provoked her and pushed her buttons and were trying to get a viral moment. There's no question in my mind about it. However, there are ways to insult people, to yell at people, to scream at people, and you don't have to say, "Yeah, I'm a racist," and use the N-word. You just don't. You just don't. And that's coming from somebody who's like, I am all for words being exposed. I don't care. Nothing offends me. Words are just words. I've always said that. But like, there's so many easier ways to yell at somebody or tell somebody off. Tell them that they're meaningless humans and their existence means nothing. And she hopes they die or something like that. It's harsh. It's harsh, but it's.
I mean, I would just say this about the Cinnabon franchise. She was this woman was immediately fired, and yeah. they released a statement that she was fired. She did at the end of the day say the words, "I'm a racist," and like Greg said, she says the N-word
many times,
over and over. Okay, not a good look. So, what my question is, how was she trained at? Because everything with me with food service as a long, like, that's how I waitressed my way through journalism school. You are as good as your management. I don't mean as a human being, but I'm simply saying with that situation, what she should have done is go say, "Oh, excuse me, you're back. Let me go get my manager." Yeah. Go get the manager and say, "This is the fourth time these people are back and they're saying nasty things to me and I don't know what to do." And that's the manager's job.
You're right. But I also think that since this is at a mall, it's my understanding that in the food court at every single kiosk or little counter underneath where Crystal is, there's a red button. They'll call the mall cops over away, like a bank.
Call the cops. And I feel threatened by these people.
Because there could have been a security issue there with these people. And she would. Now, the people seem to be having fun doing it. The guy, when he turns away and walks away, he's smiling like, "I'm the captain now."
They're horrible people. They're absolutely horrible people who were trying to get a viral moment and trying to provoke this woman. Absolutely. But that doesn't excuse her behavior. There's better ways to insult people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like don't go for the lowest common denominator. You know what I mean? Just don't. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, she should have just started singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Yeah. Just start singing a little Jesus song or something.
All right, we should, before we get to the country, let me just say this. The 7 o'clock hour is sponsored by our good friends at Wawa. The holidays are here, and so are Wawa's holiday beverages. Sip into the season with the new caramel sugar cookie iced latte, a peppermint cookie, an iced and cream smoothie, or a hot peppermint mocha. Wow, that sounds delicious. Mm. But hurry, holiday flavors are only available while the season lasts. Thank
what?
You. Yeah, I know. Before we get to the Kutchie, let's talk to Lynn in Chesterfield. Lynn, what's up?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi.
So I'm calling to defend Waymo. I am a blind person, and I belong to a national organization called the National Federation of the Blind. And we have filed lawsuits against Uber and Lyft multiple times because their drivers will drive up, see someone with a white cane or a guide dog, and just keep on going. They won't pick us up.
Why? Really? Really?
Really? Really? Wow. And this happens multiple times. It happens here in Pennsylvania. It happens across the country.
Maybe it's your dog. Maybe it's the dog. Maybe they don't want the dog in there. Maybe it's the dog. Well, she said a seeing eye dog.
It doesn't matter. Once they said they're going to do a public service, they really don't have a choice.
Well, Lynn, I have a question. Then don't take this the wrong way. How do you see them pull up and then pull off if you're blind?
Well, because you get a cancellation notice on your app.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Cancel the ride.
Yeah. So your phone is letting you know they're almost there and you're getting the notifications and then suddenly they
Now, what is your Uber customer rating? Because we all get Uber customer ratings, and drivers have canceled on me in the past, and I'm a 4.85 out of 5. So I thought I was pretty good. Yeah.
I'd have to go check that. I don't know it offhand. Hmm. But, you know, the thing with Waymo is that discrimination goes away because really it is discrimination. Mm-hmm. And as far as a dog in the car, I happen to have a guide dog who's a standard poodle. And he doesn't shed, so he's not going to leave anything behind in the car.
Yeah, so, I know, like, but some Ubers, you know, they don't want that. Yeah, they might not know that you're visually impaired.
I wonder if there's a way to put it in your profile. I am legally blind. I have a poodle who's non-shedding, who's a highly trained good dog with me, so that a person who's like a fellow dog lover Uber person, do you know what I'm saying? There might be some people that like that want to pick you
up. Well, there should be.
Yeah.
If not, and, well, but, you know, if Uber were to do that, Lynn, wouldn't it be more likely that your community would patronize that company?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
So there's business available here. Yeah. If a company wants to court a specific group of people, the blind community's there, and they're not going to drive themselves, so they need this service. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, sometimes I'd really like to drive myself because I think I could drive better than some people in the world. Nevertheless.
God bless you, Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
I'm sorry that happened to her. That's the worst.
Was that wrong of me to ask that question?
No, it's a fair question. It's a fair question.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday, sponsored by Tri-County Auto? Great deals on Toyotas and Chrysler Jeep Rams. Stop by both dealerships. Look for the big American flag. Shake Brian Krieger's hand, because Brian Krieger is all about the cause, and he knows how important his dollars are to our radio station. And because of that, because of people like Brian and Tri-County Auto, we are able to do what we do. So even if you're not in the market for a new car, just stop in there and thank them for doing it. The general manager there is a great guy too. Like, these people are putting their money where their mouth is, because they want to make sure that we are able to do what we do. And we appreciate sponsors like that. So thank you, Brian.
And that giant American flag is just spectacular. Yeah,
amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. So you want to help us, you know, you want to help us do what we do. Patronize our sponsors. Thank you very much. Do you guys know this Kentucky State Representative Sarah Stalker? No relation to me.
No, it's amazing, though, that the name is so perfect for her.
It's true.
Is it not? I mean, this is this may be the greatest. I wish her first name was Karen.
Yeah. This is it. This woman is an elected official. This is cut 30, Phil. She says that she doesn't feel good about being white every day.
Get a spray tan.
Excuse me?
Yes. Sarah Stalker, the Democrat congressperson from Kentucky. Roll this.
I'm going to be honest. I don't feel good about being white every day.
Uh-oh.
For a lot of reasons. Because it's a point of privilege that I get to move through the world in a way that so many of my other colleagues and friends and family members and of the community don't get the privilege to do. And I'm just a female, but just a woman, just a white woman. If I was a white man, I would be functioning from a point of an even greater privilege. I think we're missing an opportunity when kids have a moment to reflect about how the color of their skin does and does not allow them to move through the world. Running to them and trying to stifle that and trying to say you shouldn't feel bad. So we don't want to ever expose you to something that is going to make you have to pause and have maybe some internal feelings. It's a missed opportunity for some really good dialogue.
Wow.
Yeah, we both had the same reaction. This is, I feel bad for the people in her district, but they elected her.
Yeah.
She feels, can we send her, could we all pitch in and get her a round trip ticket, not a one-way ticket, to Michigan? to visit the community of Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. Maybe walk on the streets without a hijab and see if she gets welcomed into that community.
It's unbelievable.
Can't she identify as black?
She can do whatever she wants. Like Dawn said, get a spray tan.
Get a spray tan. No, but I think part of this individual is that I guarantee you this same individual does not support any kind of school choice or real improvement of our educational, public educational system. And so that make, in my book, it makes her and people like her a huge hypocrite. Because that's, to me, the civil rights issue of today is that the way to solve all of this is that a majority of so-called black and brown children are being discriminated against. You know why? Because they're in the worst schools in the nation. Look around.
Yep.
And so look at here in Philadelphia, look at any municipality, that's what's going on. You want to fix it, school choice or some other issue. And it doesn't, money is not the issue, because in Pennsylvania, we spend more than $23,000 in total, federal, local, et cetera, money, $23,000 per student. Look at the failure. Look at the fact that fourth graders, most of them in Philadelphia, cannot read, don't have proficiency, and less than 50% graduate high school. So what are these individuals doing about that? That to me is what makes her and what she's saying absurd.
Well, why is she saying this? That's my question. Because prompted this?
It's the victim mentality.
And it's also because she believes that it is a winning message. It's this white guilt that people have that they project out so they can seem like they're enlightened and they're woke and they're this. It's a complete virtue signal.
But we should start saying to these people, well, if you feel that way, then you should give up all of your earthly goods and give them to, you know, since you're the evil white woman, give up all your earthly goods, give up your salary, which I'm sure is probably six figures as an elected official. Most of them are. Give it up.
Yeah.
And donate it all.
Well, she's in Congress, right? Or is she a state rep?
She's a state rep. She's a state rep.
Yeah. So probably still close to six figures. Mm-hmm. You're living in Kentucky. Yeah. I wonder what the racial makeup of Kentucky is, and how do you feel bad about that? What are you telling people? And she's talking about the children. If you look at a kindergarten, you see a bunch of, or any preschool situation, see kids of all races, and they walk in and hug each other. They have no idea about racism.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely great. Mm-hmm. I love the innocence. Like it is just amazing. I wish we could all go back to that, honestly.
Especially the naps after cookies.
Erica Kirk went scorched earth against Candace Owens without mentioning Candace Owens. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. She's on the book tour. They released Charlie Kirk's last book, so she's doing the publicity for it. She's been on Fox News a lot. She was on, this is 20 film. She was on with, I think this was Outnumbered. I think this was the new
with Harris Faulkner.
Yeah. She just destroyed those making money, defaming her TPUSA and anyone Charlie loved family. She's talking about Candace Owens without naming her. Roll this.
Come after me. Call me names. I don't care. Call me what you want. Go down that rabbit hole. Whatever. But when you go after my family, my Turning Point USA family, my Charlie Kirk Show family, when you go after the people that I love, and you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars every single episode going after the people that I love because somehow they're in on this, no.
You know, I have to say it. I've never seen you like this.
No, I'm there. This is righteous anger because this is not okay. It's not healthy. This is a mind virus. Yes, I believe in our judicial system. I do. We have a hell of a team working on this. Excuse my French. But this is not okay.
So you want to put these people back in the box where they've been creeping from?
I don't care what box you're in. But just know that your words are very powerful, and we are human. My team are not machines, and they're not robots. They are human. We have more death threats on our team and our side than I have ever seen. I have kidnapping threats. I have, you name it, we have it. And my poor team is exhausted. And every time they bring this back up, what are we supposed to do? Relive that trauma all over again? They watched my husband get murdered. I have no idea how I would have reacted if I was there that day. And thank the good Lord that I did not have to see that happen. But my team, they are rocked to the core. So why every single day do they have to be dragged through the mud, analyzed, hyper-analyzed?
You know,
to sit in a corner and cry and be in fetal position, this is a duty to my husband, and it's an absolute honor, and I will never back down. And so my message to them is to stop, to stop.
And that's what we will.
Well, she said in it wasn't in that clip, but she did reference the fact that, you know, you're making thousands of dollars off of each view that you say this. So obviously referencing Candace Owens. And by the way, Tucker Carlson, too.
Thank you.
Who
I was
also,
just about to say.
Who also went on Theo Vaughn's podcast and said that he knows for a fact that the Egyptian army was going after the Kirk family and like all of this nonsense. So like and he doesn't trust the FBI and all of this stuff. So, yeah.
I will say this, that what you're seeing, you know, you think about the stages of grief, and this is her. So this is making her angry, obviously, but it's also her mama bear coming out, because remember, most of the people who work with them, these are, you know, new college grads or college age. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
She's in her mid 30s, but, you know, and she and Charlie are young, but think about it. The people that are working for her, most of them, a lot of these people have just graduated college or they're still in college. So they're like, you know, 19 to 25 age group. And when she describes that they just start crying about that. I mean, they don't know how to handle it. They're grieving already. It's really horrifying to me that Candace Owens, who used to be dear friends with Charlie. I mean, the whole thing just makes me sad, because Candace Owens needs help. I mean, I think she does need help.
Well, she's about to get a reality check in Delaware with the Macron lawsuit against her, because that case is going on right now, where she said the French president's wife was previously a man, and that Macron married not only his teacher, but someone who used to be a guy and is now a woman, and that suit is ongoing. So Candace Owens is going to get a big hit on that. But I don't understand the split. I don't know what happened. Was it jealousy that Charlie suddenly became a bigger figure than she was? Because that does happen.
I mean, I think that they went on with their lives, because remember, when they started out, they were single people.
Yeah.
And then they're moving on with their lives. And so I think it's, I mean, Candace Owens, we talked about this on Monday or at some point, where I think she just had her fourth kid. I don't know. I just think she's slowly, I see her just digressing. Just
is she going to play the pregnancy brain card, Dawn?
I don't know.
Is that a real thing?
I didn't have
your
that
wife,
stuff, but I know women who had the postpartum stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't.
So, but some women have it. It's a real thing. I don't know, but I think somebody in Candace Owens' life needs to.
She's just trying to get clicks, guys.
Well, if she is, then
that's
horrifying.
That's all there is to it.
That's evil.
These people know what they're doing. They're just trying to get clicks. And look at us. We're just asking questions. Like Tucker Carlson said yesterday, journalists used to ask questions. We should be allowed to ask questions.
No, Candace Owens is stating that this was an inside job with the Turning Point USA crew. She has. I know that for, you know, I've seen the clips.
And do you guys really think, honest to God, for Tucker Carlson, who says, I don't trust the FBI, I don't trust the FBI, there's too many people in the FBI that I don't trust, blah, 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 blah. Do you really think with Dan Bongino and Kash Patel at the helm that they're, like,
who were friends? Kash was friends with Charlie.
If there was a whiff or a sniff of any sort of impropriety or any sort of scandal around this, don't you think that they would be the first to look into it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, J.D.
Sure.
Vance was friends with Charlie
then again,
before he was even chosen as the V.
Then again, you have
they
to go in down the rabbit hole. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, they're not stupid. So what are they doing? They're trying to get clicks.
Okay,
and
I
you
agree with
people
you on
are
Tucker.
Falling for it.
I agree with you on Tucker, but with Candace, there's something. There's another cray cray aspect to this that I think is genuine cray cray. I'm just saying.
So Charlie Kirk the one that got away, Dawn?
No, I don't. I don't necessarily think that. I think they were going their separate paths just because that happens in life when you're young and single, and they were starting this, and they were dear friends and all of that. I think that what happened when he was assassinated, right away Candace Owens went into it and said, this was an inside job. She was immediately critical of Erica, you know, too quickly going out in public and too quickly smiling and critiquing her on the way that she grieves.
Who is she to tell her how to grieve?
Exactly.
F you, lady.
Thank you.
Well, could this be?
There are moms. I'm telling you, like in the Turning Point USA, and by the way, next week is the big convention, you know, the first ever convention without, in Arizona, without Charlie. So it's like huge. But there are moms who are all in with Candace Owens who follow her and say, there's something going on. And they're so convinced. And then in some of the mom groups, they're all, this is like Stacia's age group. I'm giving this up a little bit, but this is like Stacia's group, like of moms. And they're like, they're really split over this. That this
so
is a thing.
Is this possible that Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson fall into another group that I think are despicable? And those are the people who, the minute Charlie Kirk died, saw an opportunity to fill that void and get that attention. One of them being Steven Crowder, who does that Louder with Crowder thing.
Yep.
He immediately started going out with the table and said, change my mind, which is what Charlie did. And in some ways, it kind of feels like Glenn Beck tried to rejuvenate his career by going out and trying to fill the Charlie Kirk gap. And it really felt cold to me.
I agree with
what these people were doing.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Now, to defend Crowder, which I can't believe I'm doing, but to defend him a little bit, he actually is the one that started going onto college campuses.
Okay, that's good.
Before Charlie Kirk did it. So he did the change my mind thing like years before, but he stopped doing it because he was getting death threats, is what he says, at least.
Well, didn't he get into trouble over some sort of domestic situation with his wife?
Yeah, there was that too. But
that pesky thing.
Yeah.
But with this
just
one,
be careful what you see online, guys. Just that's all I'm saying. Just be careful of this crap that people are putting out there and people are falling into. It's just be better. Just be better than this, please.
Yeah. Go for a walk.
Wow, you're Melania. Be best.
Yes. Be best, baby.
Yeah. It's the holiday season. I'm very emotional. I'm very sentimental this time of year.
Aww.
Can't you tell by my?
I read that in your Twitter bio by my
splendid personality. I'm
empathetic.
I'm very empathetic, very much so. But I can't. This, you know, I said this too when they were, telling people on how to grieve. Everybody grieves their own way.
True.
They all grieve different. And there's a thing called gallows humor. That is, you know, you kind of make jokes and you kind of laugh and you kind of need that to kind of cleanse your soul. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would actually say that's kind of healthy. So don't sit here and judge people on how they grieve unless you walked a mile in their shoes. Thank you.
Amen.
All right, let's do this. So this
something weird.
What?
You give us something weird. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me something.
Well, this isn't weird. This is disturbing. I don't know if it's disturbing, but some deranged person walked through a. Dawn was talking about how, or maybe it was you, Mike, about how the National Guard, ICE agents, you know, all these people are walking around Washington, D.C. This dude who claims to be a former military guy is literally like they're not bothering anybody. He's up in their face, yelling at them, cursing at them, filming them, saying that they're they're anti-American and he said that he's allowed to do this because he's a former military guy. And hang on a second, it's a whole thing, but it's a good piece of audio. This is 21. Phil, roll this.
You realize that you're violating the Constitution. You are.
Hello, babe.
What's up?
Look at this.
These people are just trying to get to work, or like just trying to do their job.
So you guys are aware that you're violating the Constitution? Where are you from, South Sergeant? Weren't you in the military? I was 11 Bravo. I got out in 2011. I did up my rank there. You got me there, but I was not a good soldier. I have a problem with authority, but apparently you don't. You don't believe in the Constitution, but at least I believe in that. So where are you from, soldier? You ever deployed? Oh, you've never deployed. So you're a staff sergeant, never deployed, who is now violating the Constitution.
Excuse us.
What's your deal? You don't believe in the Constitution?
Shouldn't this guy be on an ice boat somewhere?
I don't get
with
paid
that
at all.
Outfit.
I'm a volunteer. I do this for love of the Republic. Unlike you. You come from some state far away to come betray your oath to the Constitution. It's funny to you. You piece of never did a damn thing for this country, but you wear that uniform with pride.
What?
What's up?
Hi, how's it going?
What you got to say?
Why are these people so angry?
You're harassing her.
Mental illness.
I'm a combat infantry veteran.
Now, so what's happening if you're not watching on YouTube?
So you don't believe in the
Who is the man in the pea coat?
I don't know.
Is he just a citizen?
No,
I think so.
No, he has a.
Who is he?
He has an earpiece in. I think.
Well, that's his. That's like first phone.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I don't he's know got who the gentleman is, but he's in plain clothes and he starts going off on the guy who's harassing the National Guard.
This happens just outside of Union Station in D.C. Now, I'm back and forth to D.C. all the time. Get off the train and jump out. You're two blocks from the Capitol, which is where they walked out of. They're headed to the Capitol probably. And that used to be covered with homeless, yeah. That whole plaza. That's gone now.
Yeah.
You can walk around without having to go through the gauntlet of crazy.
Yeah.
And this guy... I guess he's the lone remnant. But,
I mean, good for this good Samaritan who has his coffee cup. He's got like his Stanley. I think he's just a citizen who tried to intervene.
Yeah, the building right behind him there, the glass building right there, that's the one right now behind, straight ahead of them. That's where CNN, Fox, and everybody has their D.C. studios.
Yeah.
That's right there. So that's how close that guy might work for one of those networks.
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was TV guy. But who's paying this guy? That's what I want to know. Who's paying these people to be out there?
I'm up in your face for one reason and one reason only, and that is because you're betraying the oath you swore to the Constitution. So what the fuck?
Okay.
Go home.
Okay.
Go take a knee at the Capitol. Stand up for the Republic like you swore to do. Stop. What?
Are they not allowed to say, move along? Because usually the cops are like, move along, sir, get out of my face.
They don't have police authority.
Yeah.
Unconstitutionally, even though we have a permit to practice our First Amendment.
They're a deterrent presence, Don. And I don't, do we see any arms? Do we see sidearms at least? Because remember, we had two people shot.
Yeah.
One who is surviving at least.
That's a good point. I don't see any. Yeah, I don't
see a sidearm.
Yeah.
And I got a problem with that. These are National Guard. These are people we should trust, at least with a handgun.
Yeah.
Not a long rifle, but a handgun.
I'm really sick of what you're doing. So I'm going to be in your face every time you walk through here.
See, to me, this guy is a threat.
Of course he is.
At this point, this guy is a threat. He has a device. He's in there. He's very close. You know, at one point, he was maybe less than 2 feet from the face, the faces of these guys.
Yep.
He's yelling. He's belligerent. Listen to him. Like that, to me, he is a threat.
Now they're going up to a van that looks like it's going to take them to wherever they're assigned. I pray to God they grab this guy and throw him in the van and give him what the NYPD used to call a nightstick shampoo.
Yeah. You know what? They need. Here's the thing. They need either canines and just have the dog bark at him.
Yeah.
And lurch, you know, lunge at him to get him back.
They're. Yeah, their ability to keep calm and like that is unquestionably a skill because it would not end well for me.
They're not Cinnabon workers, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. No, I would not do well with this with somebody screaming at me, cursing at me as I'm just trying to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to the National Guard for this. And look, think what you will about what they're doing. They're doing their job. That's it. You know what I mean?
Someone in the YouTube chat says, oh, this is staged. Really?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
I don't think it's staged.
It's not staged. These are just crazy people that are out there, and they may be paid to do this. There are paid protesters in Chicago, in New Orleans now, Baton Rouge, and in Memphis that we're seeing, and in Charlotte.
But this goes back to what I was talking about just a couple minutes ago. People do all this stuff for clicks, guys. Mm-hmm. It's like we're broken. We're broken as a society because it doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we think. We just want to get the most outrageous points out there for clicks. And it doesn't matter who it hurts. It doesn't matter what it does. As long as you're, you know, you get those clicks and you can monetize it. Mm-hmm. That's all these people care about. And we're broken. We're broken when it comes to this.
There's a great question as well. Somebody goes, who's filming this guy videoing the National Guard? And that's a great question.
Well, that's the question, too, is that if you see on their Ford Fisher slash news to share, I don't know what that is or who that is, but that's the watermark on the video.
On the video,
but if you look at the way it's being filmed, like that's professionally shot. That's a good shot of this
good work
of this whole thing, and it's not the guy's phone, so it's not him. So he had somebody with him who was filming him in the guy's face with his phone.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous, and I don't know. I feel like we're slowly getting back to the, you know, my stepfather was in Vietnam, and we're slowly getting back to that era of people waiting at the airport for these soldiers to come home and people spitting on them and calling them baby killers and all of this stuff when they were literally just there to do their job. How, you know, I'm not, see, the Vietnam War should never have happened. So don't get me wrong on that. That was a corrupt government, ours, that led us into that catastrophe of a war. But it wasn't the soldiers' fault. And it's not the National Guard's fault for what they're doing. They're doing their job. So these people that are doing this to them are scum.
And I guarantee you that guy does not live in the D.C. area.
Oh, no.
Because the people that live in that area are telling you now, yeah, the city's safer. Yep. You can actually take the metro. You can walk around the mall. Mm-hmm. You can go all over D.C., even in some of the dicier areas. It's a whole bunch safer.
Yeah. Mike, you mentioned this earlier. This is 32, Phil. Instacart, we talked about this yesterday. Instacart has been caught using dynamic pricing. They're accessing personal data of users and then adjusting prices based on that data. If someone can afford to pay more for items, the prices increase. So, like, depending on our net worths or what we spend, I could go on Instacart and a loaf of bread could cost me one thing, and Dawn could go on Instacart and a loaf of bread could cost her another. According to this new research, this is from MarketWatch from 6ABC. Roll this.
Turning to business news this morning, you may have heard of dynamic pricing. Well, now Instacart is accused of using this controversial practice to charge consumers wildly inconsistent prices on the same products. Maribel Aber joining us live from NASDAQ with our MarketWatch report to explain. And, ooh, this is infuriating.
Oh, Alicia, okay, let's get to it. Food delivery service Instacart is being accused of charging different prices to different customers on the same grocery items without them knowing. Groundwork, it's a consumer advocacy group, says Instacart's pricing algorithm could lead to shoppers paying an extra $1,200 on groceries annually. And nearly three-quarters of grocery items it surveyed were sold at different price points. Instacart said the price differences were tests conducted by some retailers to learn, quote, what matters most to consumers. It denied using shoppers' personal information to fuel dynamic or customized pricing.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Sure. Yeah, we didn't use zip code to figure out how much your house is worth, to figure out how much you could probably afford, or maybe what car you drive. Yeah, it's all being put in there.
Yeah.
But they do it with everything, airline prices. So I have the app, of course, for every airline when you're checking out the pricing. But then I'll go to a different email address that I have and search up, you know, just as if I'm searching fresh, and we'll get way cheaper prices by doing it that way. So I think it's everything.
For travel, you mean?
For travel. For
you
airline
use two
travel.
Different email addresses to get two different prices.
Yep. Wow. Absolutely.
So maybe this is already built into
this is all algorithms.
Things.
Yep. It's all built in.
So and who are they charging more, Dawn? Dawn Menti or Dawn Stenson? That's what I want.
Well, when they have my information, which they have in the app, so that's the problem with having their app. So then when I research it, then I'll take it over and take that information over with that price and put it in, plug it into the app so I can
see
that.
So like Trivago or one of those places.
Not even those. Just even if I go to like, you know, if I go to American Airlines and I go to the app, I can get a different price on the app, which will often be more, or just go into the outside email that doesn't have the app or does not have any of my information, and I will get a much cheaper price.
Wow.
So I do this all the time. But by the way, so does government. Like I live in the Chestnut Hill section of Philadelphia. We get, the parking, meter people, they're like, boom, they're all over you. But you go to other parts of Philadelphia, there's nobody. You can park wherever you want, and the meter can be expired, whatever. Or here on Market Street in Old City, whatever.
Because
you know what I'm saying?
Because they know you rich people can afford it.
They're going to target you more. Or Mom Donnie saying that some people are going to pay different property
taxes. White neighborhoods should pay higher property taxes, yeah.
Yeah. So property taxes. By the way, you're yes. Yeah.
White people should pay higher.
Before the election, Greg.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, he's pulling back on that a bit to say, I never said that, but he did. That's on tape. Yeah.
But he's also now giving instructions to illegals on how to avoid or fight ICE.
Yes. Yeah.
Already.
Mm-hmm. Already. Not even, he's still the mayor-elect.
Speaking of the cost of things, we talked about this yesterday. I actually think Tony Bruno brought this up, Opelka, about how things are shrinking. So people are, companies now are making, they're putting less, like, let's just say chips in bags or something,
didn't
right?
Didn't we talk about shrinkflation. During the Biden administration?
Yeah.
And even Joe Biden was bitching about it, too. Yeah. Even he got it. But it's still there. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
So this this person online bought a new box of Swiss Miss hot chocolate. You know, the little packets of things?
Yeah.
They also had one from 2021. And they compared the two packets to see if the one in 2021 and the one in 2025 were the same. How do you think this ended? Roll this.
In today's episode of We're Getting Screwed, this package is from 2021 of Swiss Miss. Yes, I know it's old, but I had it in there. But we're going to check the weight and see how much it is. This is a packet from 2025. Check this out. 2021.
It's got a scale.
1.5 ounces.
1.5 ounces.
2025. 0.9 ounces. You're getting 0.6 less ounces for the same price. And they're saying it's the same. Swiss Miss, do better. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
Well, look, it's loaded with all kinds of high fructose corn sugar.
That's not the point, though, Stenzlin. It's not
artificial flavors.
It's not the point, though. It's not the point, though. You should not be drinking Swiss Miss. Yes, we know that. But it's not the point. It's the fact that these companies are charging the same price for less quality.
Yeah.
Or less product.
Less
so
product,
is the packaging more efficient? Is the packaging lighter? Are the ingredients, is the flavoring more dense? Could the dehydration of the chocolate and the sugar and the little fake marshmallows, could that have gotten better? It's more sophisticated to have a higher concentration in, so it would require less product? I mean, we've done it with laundry detergent.
Yeah.
Could it not have happened?
I'm
always playing the other side because that's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
But in reality, it's Swiss Miss probably screwing everybody.
Yeah.
Genetically engineered stuff in there. Meltzer,
what is this dextrin. Guy's website? I love the idea of the program. It's called We're Getting Screwed.
Drew Giggity. Drew Giggity. Drewgiggity. Drew Giggity.
Well, that's just creepy. But at the beginning, he said the title of his little show there.
Yes.
It's like, you're getting screwed.
Amen.
Something like that. It's a good idea for a show.
Amen to that. We have a ton more, but we should take a break and come back and finish the cut sheet on the other side, Mike Kale. Mike Opelka.
I think we're both offended by that. Nick is offended because I'd be at his family dinners, and I'm offended. But that's okay. Everybody, we're offendinistas. We wake up looking for something to make us angry enough to light our hair on fire. The extended cut sheet continues. It's Mike Opelka in for Nick Hale, my brother. Dawn is back, and Gregory's here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Thursday, Mike Opelka in for Nick Kale. Once again, Nick's voice almost back. Dawn is back. Thank God.
Thank God. Gregory's here. Thank God.
We're in the middle of the cut sheet, but I have to interject.
Uh-oh.
Earlier, we talked about how the giant computer machines are making assessments of our personalities.
Yes.
By what we post on social media. And I during the break, I just punched in Phil Omquist, because in just over an hour, Phil will be joining us.
He will. Well, he's here on morning. In fact, he's the first one here. But yes, his on-air segment will be at 9:50 this morning or around.
Today in music history. Well, so what do you think Grok thinks of Phil?
Well, it's definitely music, obviously, because I don't think he posts about anything other than music and football. He definitely doesn't post politics.
You might have done this already. Phil Omquist.
I did not, no. I don't even know how to do it, to be honest with you.
It's really simple. Host This Week in Music History on Philadelphia's WPHT, Saturdays from 11 to 1 a.m., focusing on rock music, trivia, events, while producing videos for Kale & Company, announcing junior hockey games.
Wow, yeah.
It also calls Philly dedicated New York Jets, UConn Huskies, and New York Yankees fan. He shares daily music history clips and sports commentary, blending his passions for broadcasting and classic rock. Lesser-known aspects of his on-air nods to playful, to obscure 1980s album anniversaries and playful rivalries
nice.
With other radio personalities.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. What's his quote?
His quote, reminder, Saturday on 1210 WPHT and all new This Week in Music History, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Right there.
Amazing. It's amazing.
It's Grok, great. They got him.
Grok knows a lot about us.
Yeah.
Grok
yeah.
knows
Too
a lot
much.
About us. Too much. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. I want to see where we're at right now with the likes, because I'm sure I'm not going to like it.
An hour from now, while Gregory's getting steamed, an hour from now we have special guests joining us, correct?
Yes. Mark O'Connor from Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. I believe Andy Chan's former partner is going to be with him. I'm not 100% sure about that, but
wow.
I believe that. So it might just be Mark. I'm not sure. But yes, one of the representatives from Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation will be with us at 9:30 to talk about the block party that is coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow
from 4 to 9 p.m.
Join us.
Craft Hall, 901 Delaware Avenue down there in Philadelphia. But no, you should definitely come out. And by the way, Rich Zioli will be broadcasting live. From 3 till 7. So please make sure you come out. But buy tickets now, because I think they're selling out very quickly. And when they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
You can go to the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation website, or you can just go to gregstockersucks.com. gregstockersucks.com. I'm probably not going to promote that website when Andy Chan's partner is in here, because I don't want to disrespect
nice
him.
Not
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah. So I'll let but beforehand, you know, for all you degenerates that listen to us at 8:30, we love you. GregSoccerSucks.com. It goes right there. You can go there.
And Dawn will be sporting the sexy elf costume with the candy cane striped leggings, correct?
Yes, baby.
Tights.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. But get on. Yeah, only 203 likes. We're
203.
We had 300.
What?
We had 355 yesterday. So I want to make sure we beat that. So I need 170 people right now to get on over to YouTube and smash that like button, smash that thumbs up button. It's free, and please make sure you're hitting the subscribe button as well. Thank you very much. Please do that right now. I'm waiting.
Susie Cole's out there. I know she's listening. Get your whole family on this, Susie. Yeah.
You're also going to want to watch this, because we have one of the good things I do like about the internet is the body cam footage that we've now seen. Mm-hmm. There's a guy in Florida that we're going to play in 1 second. I'm going to let people get over there. Who was driving 130 miles an hour. And when they stopped him, because he got into an accident, when they stopped him, he claimed he was being teleported.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have the body cam footage. So YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. But first, the GOP just released an ad against the U.S. Texas Senate candidate Jasmine Crockett. We played a clip the other day of, what do you call her, Jazzy Jasmine?
Jazzy. Just Jazzy.
Jazzy, you know. Announcing her run for the United States Senate. What are we predicting she loses by?
Double
digits?
Primary?
Double digits? No. She'll
you think she'll win the primary?
I do think she'll win the primary, and then she'll get smoked in the general.
Well, she's come out for reparations, and there are a lot of white Democrats in Texas. So she may or may not win the primary. I think it's great if she wins the primary because she'll be an easier candidate to beat than a middle-of-the-road Democrat.
Yeah. The GOP just released their ad against her, Robles.
Well,
hang on. Yeah.
This was a response because she said Democrats aren't the ones with the violent rhetoric, right? She said,
yes.
I challenge you to find me
yes.
something that shows that.
Roll this. Oh, is this? Wait, hang on.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Do we have the audio? Oh, it's edited. I see.
Hang on. Oh, jeez.
That's my fault. It's my fault. Phil made a note.
Phil made a note.
Do you yell at yourself later, Gregory?
I should.
You should.
I absolutely should.
I'm sorry I called you G.
It's not.
It's just great.
But
Sarah Weiss, thanks for the gifts.
We don't have the audio in the thing,
oh no.
thing, guys. So
we don't have the thing.
We will get to that in 1 second. If the crack staff can go back there and edit that, that would be fabulous. I don't have a
speaking of crack.
Yeah.
During the the Swiss Miss segment, yes. I made the comment about the drug scale.
Yes.
And somebody on the YouTube chat said, it's a food scale. Mm-hmm. Well, if you watch enough Cops TV, when they catch people with drugs, the scales look just like that, and they're covered in powder.
Amen.
And if you look at the guy's scale, it's covered in powder.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so once we get
flour.
Once we get that, once we get that edited, we will bring it to you. But let me do this. Let me do this. Florida man claiming he was teleported in a stolen BMW at the orders of the X-Men before crashing. Thanks, officers, for saving him from aliens. This is 36-year-old Calvin Johnson. He was arrested in Ormond Beach, Florida, after crashing a car. Police say Johnson was driving at speeds of 130 miles an hour before wrecking the car. According to the owner of the BMW, he was walking his dog at a park and returned to find his car missing. His keys were reportedly in a cup holder. By the way, people, stop doing that. Take your keys with you. It's not that hard. Take your keys with you. Lock your car. I don't know how I got in the car. I don't know. I teleported. They told me the X-Men to do it. You saved me from the aliens, Johnson told officers, according to a witness. We have the body cam footage. Roll this.
Watch his boat. Do you have a fire extinguisher?
I don't know how I got in the car. I don't know. I teleported or something.
Where'd you get the car from?
I don't know. It's Calvin.
The
I don't know. I teleported.
Officer, where's your fire extinguisher?
Give me just one second.
Yeah.
Put your hands up on my car.
Yes, sir. At the teleport or the hospital?
Did you come from Bicentennial Park?
It came from that. All right.
Bicentennial Park?
From north.
They told me the X-Men to do it.
Okay, but the dog park?
I don't know. The X-Men told me to, I don't do that stuff.
I got one tinfoil.
I'm here completely safe. I just said just sit. Mary Hamilton, someone told me to come here.
Just sit tight.
Someone's in my way.
I cut it out of the seat.
It's not his.
Wow.
You know what a car extinguisher is? I don't want to
look at that car.
Thank you for saving me.
Give me this guy said he cut him out of the seat.
Yeah. Look at that car, by the way. Like,
I don't know how I got him out.
Yeah. Signal 20 says. Oh, my God.
He stole the car.
I don't know how I got him out, but I promise God stole it.
Hey, can you give me that tag?
Sober as a church mouse.
Thank you. Go ahead with it.
You saved me from the aliens.
Yeah, okay. A little bit easy. Yeah. Watch your lips.
Yeah, that's one on the same.
Hey, give him a drink of water.
Guy's all bloody.
It's amazing he's able to walk and talk.
I know.
Step forward.
Is this a substance, or you think he's just a nut job?
Oh, I don't think he's been drinking any Buckin' Fear. I don't know about you.
Buckin' Fear.
That sounds, yeah, he's awesome for.
He hasn't been drinking any Buckin' Fear?
No, sir. I've not been drinking any Buckin' Fear. Sorry. The car got away from me. He's lucky it didn't flip because a convertible would have crushed his brain.
Stolen?
Yes. Yeah. It was stolen. Yeah.
From the dog park because the idiot left his keys in the car unlocked.
Some moron left their keys, yeah. I love body cam footage. I can watch this all day, honestly.
Friday night, Saturday night, from 9 to midnight, live, on patrol, we are addicted. And chase scenes, but 130 miles an hour. And, you know, that's a BMW. We see these little Nissans. We see these little Toyotas going 120, 130 miles an hour. No problem.
Amen. Amen. Speaking of cars, did you guys know that there's subscriptions in cars now?
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah, $15 a month.
So when you get these new high-fangled cars and you get all these features, I didn't realize they expire in a year and you have to pay them. You have to pay something up to $600 or something like that?
Well, it depends. Like Greg, when you get subscriptions for streaming services, you kind of add on. You're like, well, we got the Netflix, but do we need BritBox? And do we need the Tennis Channel? And do we need ESPN Plus? Yes. So now the same thing is in your car.
But I didn't realize there was subscription. Like, I understand the subscription model. I subscribe to everything. Dawn knows that because she's the same as me.
Yes.
We subscribe to everything. I have no problem with subscriptions. But I didn't realize that, like, your GPS and all the stuff in your car required subscriptions. According to this guy here, he bought a new Toyota Camry, and his subscriptions ran out. And they told him he had to pay up to $600 a year just to keep the features that you already bought on the car.
So the equipment's in the car. But in order to access the information that's on the satellite that's feeding your car, someone's got to pay for that. OnStar used to cost, didn't it, decades ago?
Yeah.
I have a four-year-old car, and I pay $15 a month to Mercedes to get it's incredible navigation. I can talk to my car, and it's like Alexa. It's really good. But it's $15 a month. To me, that's not that much to pay.
Well, you could go cheap and just do like the, you know, through your phone.
Waze, yeah. I was just going to say, why do you need a navigation system on your, I have one, by the way, but I don't use it. I use Waze.
But do you connect through Apple CarPlay?
No.
Because the Apple Car, and we need to talk about this too, because the car companies, both Toyota and GM, are getting ready to get rid of FM radio and Apple CarPlay because they want to use proprietary linkage on this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And everybody looked at me sideways 2.5 years ago when I said, guys, we need to get on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We need to get on YouTube because and they're like, how much is this going to cost? Yeah. How much is this going to cost? Thank you very much. All right, that's just my own personal gripe, Michael.
Which
Parker.
Executive's voice was that? I just want to know who are you are.
It's all of them.
It's a collaboration.
Who give me no credit for anything.
Nope.
Reinventing this effing format that was dead on a stick. Thank you. Roll this.
Toyota's charging us $600 a year to keep all of our functions on our 2025 Camry after we've owned it for a year. Let's go ahead and dive into what it is. Well, everything's a subscription nowadays, so it shouldn't be too surprising that cars are now wanting a subscription as well. And after a year, Toyota expires some of the vehicle functions. So what are those functions? Well, probably the biggest thing that expires after a year is remote start via the Toyota app. So you used to be able to, from anywhere, open the app and remote start your vehicle to get it cooled down. That's no longer a thing after a year. You also lose
pause
the digital key functionality.
Pause it for a second.
So you have
I didn't realize that. Well, I did realize that was a function for new cars. But you can buy things right that are remote starters for your
car. Yeah, they're like $1,000, $1,200.
Yeah, so it can it can save you from the subscription that you need to remote start your car if you just buy one, right?
Or from having your car blow up because the mob wanted to blow you up. Just saying.
All right, keep going.
take your keys everywhere with you. You can no longer use your watch or your phone. Another big thing that expired is our navigation. Despite us buying the high-end XSE trim level with the big screen, when we tab to the navigation menu, guess what? It's now expired, and if I hit get started, all it wants to do is sell me this subscription. So how much is the subscription? Well, $15 a month is the entry-level price. If you want the app functionality with things like navigation, which I feel like we already paid for. Now, if you want additional things like Apple Music to be able to function inside the car natively, that's $25 a month. And then if you want Wi-Fi on top of that, that's an additional $25 a month. So yes, you can spend $50 a month on this Camry in subscriptions, $600 a year.
Wow.
Now, of course, we're not doing that. I don't think it's worth that, but do you think it's worth it?
Wow.
Now, Honda does not start, Honda offers subscriptions, but you don't have, I don't have that. And with Honda, the key fob remote start is free.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Because I was looking at Honda versus Toyota.
My 2020 BMW that I got rid of about 6 months ago was $99 a year for all the BMW stuff you get, same navigation and Apple CarPlay. And now the 2022 that I just traded in for Mercedes is $15 a month. But it's a pretty, I got remote start, I've got the great navigation, and it allows me to connect with my phone for Apple CarPlay, and it works.
We should, let me see here. How behind are we? Dawn.
Yes.
Talk to us about Piazza, please.
Speaking of Piazza Auto Group and Piazza Honda, speaking of vehicles. So as you know, and tomorrow is the last day to drop off your new unwrapped toys at any Honda. You can go Honda dealership across or any Piazza Auto Group. Not just Honda, across the region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And this is something, Piazza Auto Group, they're committed, as you know, to supporting our local communities throughout the year. But during the holiday season, Piazza Auto Group always partners with the Salvation Army. That's why we were out last Friday. That's how my little elf costume and Greg's little Grinch, sexy Grinch
costume that I burned.
And Nick Cale with his Santa little cute little Santa outfit. That's why we were out there.
Hopefully he burned that too, because all the diseases and crap that
or sprayed it down after he got sick.
Beard.
When he took the beard off, he looked like a Muslim cleric. I got to tell you, go back and look at the YouTube on that, because he looked like an angry Muslim cleric with his little beard. It was crazy.
Look cute. But we were out there, and you can still do this. They're still collecting the new toys for local children. This year, obviously, no different. Piazza Auto Group doing it again with the big toy drive. So through tomorrow, December 12th, we ask you, please, stop at any of the local Piazza dealerships, and that's across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. Drop off a new unwrapped toy to one of your dealerships locally, and they go to the local kids. During your visit, make sure you say hi to the team, and you can find out more information about the Piazza toy drive or to browse their extensive inventory online, PiazzaAutoGroup.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaAutoGroup.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Happy Thursday. It is Kale and Company. Nick Cale still fighting the laryngitis monster, but I think he's on the winning side of things. Maybe even making an appearance tomorrow. Michael Pelka in for my buddy Nick Cale. I've been back and forth text messaging last night. I haven't bothered him today because he's probably asleep, like Gregory says. Like Greg says.
Thank you.
It's a hard habit to break, Greg. Dawn Stenzelin back. Yay. And looking, Dawn, looking like nothing hit you.
Nothing hit her.
Dawn said, I feel like a truck hit me. No, it had to be a truck pillow. And Gregory's here around the corner, Fight Club coming. And just stop with the slams to me on the Fight Club. I just don't like it. That's okay. It's okay not to like everything you people like.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We're in the Christmas season, the holiday season right now. So a lot of stations are playing Christmas music. Well, I would like to play Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but I want it played, sung to the tune of Higher by Creed. You know the song Higher. Can you take me high? somebody did this to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I would like to bring that to you right now. Roll this, please.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. I love the other reindeer. Used to laugh and call him names. They never let Rudolph join in any reindeer games. And one foggy Christmas Eve, oh, Santa came to say, can you take me higher to a place where snowmen see? Can you take me higher to a place where sleigh bells ring?
Brilliant.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.